Good evening. Good to be here. Appreciate this church. I thank all of you that has come this way tonight. Brother Tommy, I don't know how it is with you, Brother Barney, Brother Mark. I don't know how it is with y'all when you stand in the pulpit. I have at least five things I have to overcome before I can even start. And first of all, this how to start, where to start, how to keep going, where to stop, and how to stop. I have a problem with the title of a message. I have a problem with introduction. I have a problem with the meat of the message. I have a problem with the conclusion, illustrations. And I definitely have a problem with the invitation. I don't have a clue as to how to end a message with an invitation. I firmly believe that the message itself is an invitation. And I don't think anybody can give a better invitation than God does. And I just want to be a help here tonight. I want to be an encouragement. The days that we are living in, it's discouraging. You turn on the TV, and within 3 minutes, you're discouraged. Or I am. Maybe I'm watching the wrong things. I don't know. But even with the news, I was telling Brother Archie, I think it was a while ago, that when I'm watching the news, maybe it was Brother Richard this morning, I don't remember. But when I watch the news, at the bottom, there's a scroll that goes across, giving the local news or whatever. And it's just one shooting after another in Atlanta. One robbery after another in Atlanta. And it gets so discouraging. You know, we're living in some dark days now. I mean, with this situation in Israel, we need to wake up. I'm not talking about wokeness now. I mean, we need to wake up. Like I said, I just want to be an encouragement here tonight. Look in 1 John chapter number 3, and I want to read the first three verses. Well, I think I will begin by reading the last verse of chapter number 3. Several of the commentators that I referred to, they seem to think that chapter number 3 should have began with verse number 29. I think I can see their thought here. But it says in 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 29, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Father, I ask you for your help here tonight. Lord, someone here recently in this church made the statement that it's possible to study too much. And Lord, I have so much going around inside my head that I find it difficult in knowing which way to go and what to say and what not to say and what to leave out. But Lord, I asked you for the help of the Holy Spirit, that I would be sensitive to you and the way you would have me to go and what you would have me to say. Lord, please take control of this service tonight. Lord, get glory from me. Help me, Lord, to be a help to these people. Speak through me. Lord, we are a needy people and we need to hear from God. Help us now, Lord, in Jesus' name. And for Jesus' sake, amen. Now, it's not going to take you very long to understand what I meant when I said that I don't really know how to get started. But I can see, especially in verse number 2, where it says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Now, taking that verse, I want to speak to you for a little while here tonight on this thought. What a day that will be. He says here, when He shall appear. Now, what I see in this and what I want to bring out is, He's talking about a certain day. When He shall appear. Now, a day is 24 hours. A day is 1,440 minutes. A day is 86,400 seconds. A day is 1/7 of a week. Pretty academic, isn't it? A day is 1/30 of a month. 1/365 of a year. Our lives are made up of days. Good days, bad days, this day, that day, the other day, the next day, what day, someday, every day, yesterday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, right on down the line. Our days truly are full of days. There are some days we wish would never end. And then there are some days we wish had never began. I heard this morning on the way to church listening to Warren Wiersbe. He made this statement. There are some days, and then there are some days. Now, it may not be easy to understand what he means, but I can understand that there are some days that I wish I didn't have to go through. And truly, there are some days I'm glad that God gave me the privilege to be able to live that day. There was a day when we were born. There was a day when we started school. There was a day we became teenagers. There was a day we got our driver's license. A day we graduated. A day we got married. There have been a lot of days in our lives. Looking back over my life, I now realize there were many days that I wasted. Days I wish I could recall. Days I wish I would have handled a different. As of this day, today, while I'm standing here now, I have lived 28,097 days. I mean, I'd much rather say I'm 77 years old than say that I'm 28,097 days old. We use the word day every single day of our lives. The Bible has a lot to say about days. The Scriptures mention holy days, the Lord's Day, the Day of the Lord, the Day of Judgment, and on and on and on. The word day is found at least 6,000 times in the Word of God. The psalmist says in Psalm 90 in verse number 12, "Teach us to number our days." Peter says in his second epistle in chapter 3 in verse 8, "One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day." Job says in chapter 14 in verse 5, "Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee." Truly, our lives are governed by days. But here in these verses that I've read here tonight, we come face to face with a special day. We all can look back on our past and remember special days in our lives. The day that we were saved being probably the most important day that we've ever experienced. Other than that, I remember a very special day in my life. May not mean anything to you, but it means the world to me. It was in August of 1963. That was the year. It was right on the eve of my junior year in high school. And in June of that year, Shirley came up from South Georgia near Savannah to visit her mother. Her mom and dad were divorced. She lived with her dad down near Savannah. Her mother lived right down at the foot of the hill from where we lived. My mother and her mother were friends. She came up one summer to stay with her mother. And I remember the day that I first saw her. When she came in the door, her and her mother came in the door. The first thing I noticed was a big old yellow patch in the back of her breeches. Stood out like a sore thumb. Now, my mother and her mother were friends, and they got together, and my mom said, "I want you to ask her out." I said, "Mama, I don't like the girl. I don't want to have anything to do with the girl." And I didn't. I had no desire. I mean, all I wanted to do, Brother Tommy, was with my shotgun and my beagle, my rabbit dog. I wasn't interested in girls. I wasn't interested in boys either, don't get me wrong. But all I wanted to do was to enjoy myself with squirrel hunting and rabbit hunting. But I did ask her out, and I still didn't really care for her. And at that time, during the summer months, I worked with my oldest brother and Junior Smith, his two brothers, and their daddy. We hung sheetrock in Atlanta. And I came home from work one day, and normally Shirley would be at the house when I got home. When I got home that day, she wasn't there, and I asked Mama. I said, "Mama, where's Shirley?" And Mama said, "Shirley decided to go back home." I grabbed my shotgun. I took off to the woods. Mama and her had got together and played a joke on me. But I heard her voice calling me. And it was that day that I realized that I didn't just like her, I loved her. Special day in my life. Follow along with me now as I read these verses once again. And see if you can find this special day that John mentions here. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear." There it is. There's that special day. That is the day that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. That's the special day. Has that statement ever got a hold to your heart? When he shall appear. You know, I've looked forward to a lot of things coming into my life, but there's nothing that can even match the fact that the Lord Jesus will keep his promise and he will come back for us. What a day that will be when the Lord Jesus comes back for his church. Using these verses, I want to speak to you on what a day that will be. But before I take on that phrase, let me just say what a day that was when Jesus found me. What a day it was when Jesus found you. Spurgeon wrote in one of his morning devotions on February the 13th, I don't know what year it was, but he made this statement: "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, considering who we were and what we feel ourselves to be even now, when corruption is still powerful in us. And you will wonder at our adoption. Yet we are called the sons of God. What a high relationship is that of a son, and what privileges it brings. What care and tenderness the son expects from his father, and what love the father feels towards a son. But all that, and more than that, we now have through Christ. As for the temporary drawback of suffering with the elder brother, this we accept as an honor. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. We are content to be unknown with him in his humiliation, for we are to be exalted with him. Beloved, now are we the sons of God." That's easy to read, but it's not so easy to feel. How is it with your heart this night? Are you in the lowest depths of sorrow? Does corruption rise within your spirit and grace seem like a poor spark trampled underfoot? Does your faith almost fail you? Fear not. It is neither your graces nor feelings on which you are to live. You must live simply by faith on Christ. With all these things against us now, in the very depths of our sorrow, wherever we may be, now, as much in the valley as on the mountain, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Oh, but you say, "See how I am arrayed. My graces are not bright. My righteousness does not shine with apparent glory." But read the next. "It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. The Holy Spirit shall purify our minds, and divine power shall refine our bodies. Then shall we see him as he is." No one can make statements like Brother Spurgeon. Do you remember the day when you got saved? Do you remember the day that God brought you to the end of yourself? Glorious day. Do you remember that day when you realized who you were and what you really was? Was that not a glorious day when you realized that a holy God took interest in you? Was that not a glorious day in your life? What a day that was. Hallelujah. What a day that was when the Lord Jesus revealed himself to us. Amen. But consider, secondly, not only what a day that was, but what about what a day this is? "All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Those things that we once loved, we now hate. And those things that we used to hate, we now love. We now love the Scriptures. We now love the people of God. We love the house of God. What a day this is that we can please God and not please ourselves. What a day this is when we have the desire to please God with our very lives. To be givers instead of takers. To realize the purpose of our existence. Not to please ourselves, but to please Him who created us and gave His Son as a sacrifice to die for us. What a day this is when we are privileged to be the servants of the Most High God. What a day that was. What a day this is. And now, what a day that will be. Notice it says here, when he shall appear. There's coming a day. There's coming a day when no heartaches shall come. No more clouds in the sky. No more tears to dim the eye. All this peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I'll look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promise. What a day, what a glorious day that's going to be. When he shall appear. 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 28, the Bible says, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. When he shall appear. When he shall appear. That's a promise. He's coming back. I don't care what this world has to say. Y'all been saying that all of these years. Where's the promise of his coming? It's right here in these scriptures. He has promised he is coming, and he has never broke a promise. When he shall appear. When he shall appear. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 11, the Bible says, this same Jesus who you have seen going into heaven will come back just like that. This same Jesus is coming back for us. What a day that will be when he shall appear. But what a day that will be when we shall be like him. When we shall be like him. We, the sheep, the called of God, the people of God, those saved by his marvelous grace, when he shall appear, we shall be like him. I'm not saying that we're going to be as holy as he is. We're going to be as perfect as he is. But the Bible tells us that we're going to be similar to him. We're going to be like him. And every single day of our lives, we ought to have that in our minds and have a desire to cleanse ourselves and get ourselves into a shape where we look more like him, and this world can see more of him in us every day of our lives. But we know that. Now that word know is mentioned at least 25 times in 1 John. There's some things we ought to know. And that word know don't mean just with your mind. It means with the heart. When we really know God, we know him in our heart because here he is. He's living in us. And he is dictating to us how we live our lives. When he shall appear, we shall be like him. Get a hold of this. We shall be like him. The Father loved the Son so much that he sent the Spirit of God into this world to lead us into righteousness, to teach us the way of righteousness, and to conform us into the image of God's Son. God loved the Son so much that he wanted all of his children. He wants all of his children to look just like his beloved Son. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 and 9 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. We're to be Christ-like, are we not? Isn't that what God expects out of our lives? Before we can even think about how we might resemble Jesus, we should understand how we are to be like him today, in the here and now. It does us no good to ask the question, what will we be like when we see Jesus if we are not striving to be like him today? For one thing, our focus should be on Christ and glorifying him. Jesus told his disciples to teach all nations the very same things that he had taught his disciples, which is what the early church did. And as we know from the Gospels, being like Jesus includes complete trust in God, such as that which Jesus had with the Father. After being asked to see the Father, the Lord Jesus said unto Philip, "Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" In other words, what Jesus is saying to Philip and what he is saying to us, if you've seen Jesus, you've seen me. Because Jesus represented the Father in every single thing that he did. Jesus was God incarnated in flesh. And every single day he lived, he was reflecting the glory of God to this lost and dying world. When he shall appear, what a day that will be. What a day that will be when we shall be like him. But in trying to close, what a day that will be when we shall see him as he is. Job in 19 and verse 26, "And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." John said in, well, the Lord Jesus makes this statement in John chapter 17 and verse number 24, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." In the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus made this statement, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Yeah. Revelation 22 and verse 4, which is the beatific vision, as Brother Tommy has brought out many times, and as you can see in these verses here, is the beatific version. "And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads." You remember back over yonder in Exodus chapter 33, where Moses desired to see the Lord, but God told him that he could not see him face to face. He had to put him in a cleft of a rock and just get a glimpse of his glory as he passed by. Mankind has always wanted to see God, to see God, who he is. There are ways in which we can see God through a glass darkly. We can see him in the Scriptures. We can see him in his Son. We can see him in his saints. But we can't see God as he is, as he truly is. Notice the last clause of verse number 2. "For we shall see him as he is." John tells us that we will be like him. Why does he say that? For, because we shall see him as he is. This is something no one, nobody, not even since Adam and Eve, when they had the privilege before sin entered into the world to fellowship with God, to meet with him,
to see Him. No man has been able to do that throughout eternity. People have had only glimpses of Him in the past, but no one has seen Him as He is. For we shall see Him. That word see comes from a Greek word, I guess, where we get optometrist from. It means to look at. It means to behold. To gaze with wide open eyes as it's something remarkable. Can you imagine how remarkable it's going to be when Jesus does appear and we're able to see Him as He is? We're going to be bug-eyed, brothers and sisters. It's no wonder that we will be flabbergasted when we see the Lord Jesus when He appears. It's no wonder that we'll be speechless. It's no wonder that we'll be breathless. We'll be able to see something no one has ever seen before. We will be seeing Him as no one ever saw Him since Adam and Eve saw Him before sin entered into the world. They did not see the risen Lord. They did not see the suffering Savior. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should see Him as He is. We shall see Jesus as He is. Not as He was. Not as He will be. We shall see Him as He is. We will not see Him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. We will not see Him living a life of poverty. We will not see Him as the son of Joseph and Mary. We will not see Him walking the dusty streets of Judah. We will not see Him ridiculed, spit on, misunderstood, and rejected. We will not see Him hanging on the cross on Calvary's hill. We will not see Him lying in a borrowed tomb. We will not see Him as He was. We shall see Him as He is, glory to God. We shall see Him in all of His glory. We shall see Him in all of His majesty. We shall see Him as the Lord of lords and the King of kings. We shall see Him as He always has been. We will see Him as He always will be. We will see Him as the God He is. We won't see Him as man saw Him at His first coming. We won't see Him as the world sees Him today. We won't see Him as the people on the outside of the tabernacle saw the tabernacle. They only saw an ugly, drab, and dreary covering over that tabernacle. They only saw the badger skins. And as Isaiah said in chapter 53 in verse number 2, He hath no form or comeliness, and when we shall see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. That's the way the world saw the Lord Jesus. That's the way the world still sees the Lord Jesus. And they never will see Him as He is until they enter into that tabernacle, until they go through that altar, until they go through the cleansing, and they enter into the holy place. They will never see the Lord. They will never see the beauty of holiness until God reveals it to them. What Jesus is to this world today is nothing but old coarse badger skins. What the natural man sees as he looks on the things of God is nothing to him. He cannot understand it. He does not desire it. Nothing of beauty, nothing to be desired. When the world looks at Jesus, all they see is just a man. But aren't you glad that for the day that the Lord Jesus revealed Himself to you for who He is? Aren't you glad that one day when He shall appear, we will be able to see Him as He truly is? Oh, what a day. What a day that will be. Looking forward to that day.